The Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 40th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather before you today, experiencing what we do so much in life, being forlorn, being forgotten, being abused, feeling that you're not present. But we know, Lord, the ultimate answer is you're always present. Be with us today as we look at scriptures that you've shared with us, that we might experience your grace and your peace. Grant me those words I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you prepared for our lives. Amen. Well, as we were studying for this lesson on Tuesday, one of the things we looked at is just the suffering. Just looking and saying, how long? How long? How long? How long until? When would you? And if we look at the pandemic that's around us, oh, hasn't that been our last year and a half? How long? Is it time for hope or is it false hope? The vaccine, the healings, the numbers going down in our own areas. But as we've heard this morning, that's not the world picture. The more people have died this year alone than have died in all the other COVID months that have passed. How long, O Lord? But instead of starting there, I would like to start at the end of the story of David. Instead of the how long, let's start with his proclamation of what was right. Because isn't that where we've lived our lives? Where things have gone right and we've been blessed and we've been healed and we've been loved and we've been cared for, we've been nurtured. We knew the presence of God was near upon us and was actually present among us. David says it this way in verse number 5. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Isn't the problem with our concerns that God's not present in being forlorn the fact that we've been given so much? If we didn't have the good things in life, that God's touched our world, would we have the perspective of the bad things that we want to dwell upon so much? If we were never loved, would we know what it was like to be loved? If we never had tenderness, would we miss not being around tenderness? If we had not had care, people that cared for us, what would have been the experience if we lived in a world where no one cared? But we do. We have. We are. And that's who we're called to be. David, as he starts off talking about how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? What does that look like? How long will you hide your face from me? Does that look something like when someone turns away from us in the middle of a conversation? When someone ignores our presence? When someone we anticipated being there doesn't show up? Isn't that part of what we're about? We call these laments, but aren't they really actions that we've experienced in our own lives? And sometimes we participate. When people are around us that we just are tired of being around. Just had the opportunity to be with some friends that were with me in my first sermon on a Good Friday up in Timlin near Punxsutawney, outside of Punxsutawney. It was one of those marathon Good Friday services of 3 hours. We might remember those were popular back in the day. And Michael Holt, which is a guy that's half as big as I am. I mean, he's twice my size almost. He stood up. He was preacher number 4. I was preacher number 5 and dealing with the 3 hours of Lent. And he preached my sermon. I stood up after he'd preached my sermon because he had the wrong lessons. And I said, he said everything I was going to say, but one little story. And I shared one story. And then I went and sat down, and everyone liked mine the best because it was so short, not because it was significant. Don't get it wrong. That was 45 years ago, 47 years ago, the beginning of my internship. And how did that go? How about us today? When do we lament God not being present? When do we ask those questions, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear the pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. No one knows exactly what was happening when David wrote this song. When David put this down in the memory verse that we all quote now, some 4,000 years later. But we do know that David had a blessed and good life with a whole bunch of ups and downs, just like ourselves. He was a farm boy, a shepherd, as we hear the beginning of his story, anointed to be king, and waited 16 years to be coronated, who went out and fought a giant named Goliath with a little strip of leather called a sling and some stones, and became very popular. In Isaiah, we hear that the women used to sing a song about David and the King Saul. And the song went something like, Saul slayed 1,000 soldiers, and David slayed 10,000. And King Saul's ego would not let that rest. And from that day on, he hunted David to turn him from a hero to a martyr. For 16 years, David waited to become the king that Samuel anointed him for when he was sent to David's house, which is the house of Jesse, to become anointed him as king. But David, in all the glorious battles that he had won, all the conquests that had taken place over the course of his life, all the good moments where he knew the presence of God was there, went in times of despair, "Oh Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must I bear this pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long?" The mighty warrior David brought to the lament of, "Where are you, Jesus? Where are you, Lord? Why me?" We've all been there. Could come as an illness of a loved one. Could come because of battles on a job front, a coworker that was demeaning and ignorant and uncaring, a boss that was overwhelming, financial woes, the world going upside down, the loss of a loved one, missed opportunities, a financial crisis, or a pandemic. How long, O Lord, must we wait? And now the church is in a major transition. We within Plum are in a major transition. Never really sure of what the future holds, but knowing that together we as the people of God are stronger than we've ever been. And God's ever present. But we must never forget the realities of the lament, or that David turned it around and acknowledged not the feelings that were haunting him. Because isn't that why we lament? It's based on our emotions. It's based on our want to be different, but we allow our emotions to take control. Look at everybody else out there. They've got it so good, and you have the suffering. Why me, O Lord, when everyone else has got it, is being blessed? What about the opportunities of the future? But David turns it around and says, "But I trusted in your steadfast love. You have always loved me, Lord. You have always been there with me. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because you have dealt bountifully with my grace and with me." And what we lose sight of is we have a God that experienced the same things. Jesus, at the foot of the cross, before he was crucified, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Father, why do you forsake me? How long, O Lord, must I endure the suffering and pain?" And we've taken that so much, and we've turned it into a part of our ministry and our witness, and we will even experience today when we hear Jesus say, "My body broken and given for each of you." Isn't that a symbol of a God that loves us and cares for us in spite of our futures, our past, and what we're about? And he comes to us as his people, and he claims us and says, "Take and eat. In my brokenness, you are made whole. In my separation from the world, as you know it, you become the body of Christ." So often we take it all for granted. We don't realize that Jesus was also lamenting, and he was the Son of God. But he turns it around too, and he says, not my will, but thine be done. And he comes to us this day as we remember all of the things that happened in our past. And as you'll notice in your bulletin, we remember the Emmanuel Nine, a group of people that gathered together for a Bible study and were martyred because of their faith, because of their kindness, because of their care of a stranger in their midst. May we never forget that we are those people in the path of life that are called and challenged continually to know that our laments come because we know a God that loves us, that promises to never leave us or abandon us or separate himself from us. When we're feeling divided and isolated, it's not because he's gone anywhere. He hasn't turned his back on us. We've walked away from him. And the blessings and care that he nurtures upon us. And when things get tough and the going gets rough, it's to make us stronger and better, and very likely allowing us the opportunity to care for the least of one of these in our midst. Today's a day not of mourning and grief, but it's a day where we have the opportunity to hear the words of Christ given and shed, broken for each of us, the body of Christ, that we can be the people of God for a world that so desperately needs to know he's present as we continue through the pandemic, as we continue through the healing, as we continue through life, because there's so many out there that are lamenting because they don't realize the presence of God. May we, as God's people, be ever present, but may we always know that Jesus is with us always. He promises, he comes to us, and he sends us into that world where so many are lamenting, and frequently it's us. May we, like David, turn it around and say, but I trusted in your steadfast love, not my emotions of the future, of the present. But I know you were there with me in the beginning. I know you called my name. I know you are present, and you will call me home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.